Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing this morning? Well, praise God. Praise God. Went through a number of scriptures this morning. But something was hitting me this morning before I came up, and see if I can find it. If it's where I think it's at.
John 23.
No, it's not John 23. Let's see here. It might be, you know, I think, let's go to Psalm 1 this morning. That's what I'm thinking of. You know, one of the things that I've been kind of thinking about was, one of the things as we've been talking about is loving God, loving one another, doing His will, you know, and pressing toward that mark, you know, having that ever before us. And we're learning, you know, we're just grazing the top of loving one another. I mean, because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, no greater than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You know, that's the place of love that we should have for one another. That's the place of what Jesus called us and commanded us to do. They will know you're my disciples for your love for one another. And he tells us in John to love one another. He tells us in the epistle of John, love one another. And one of the things is an instance, you know, I just take my life for example. You know, what are we all called to do, first of all? What are, love God, love one another. But what are we? Preach the gospel, right? But what are we? We're His body on earth. We're ministers of Jesus Christ. We're servants of Jesus Christ. In whatever situation you're in. Well, one thing that I remember back in Texas was, it's not Brad, and I don't know what he does really, and Linda the accountant, Lisa the housewife, Jeff the drywall guy, Edmund, the Mr. Fix-It. I don't quite know what he does either, but but praise God. Praise God. It's not that. It's ministers of Jesus Christ. And all that we do should be glorifying God in His name. And guys, we're just grazing that point of loving God, love one another. We're just grazing it. So I encourage for us to press toward that mark. You know, in Revelations, it talks about they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, which is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receiving that forgiveness of sins, being reconnected back to your spirit, which you were cut off from birth. The word of your testimony. That is the power of the gospel in your life. Personally. Personally. And the third one, as Jesus commands me, the one commands us, the one that I'm talking about, is not love your life not unto the death. That's the one we need to come. It's three. It's not just two. It's three. Paul, you have something.
Colossians 3. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. It isn't our life anymore. It's His.
Amen. Paul says Colossians 3.
We've been bought with a price.
We've been bought with a price. And that's really what I want to touch on. I mean, because what are we doing? You know, for me, it is that pressing toward that mark of loving God, loving one another, at work, at home, in ministry, in fellowshipping. It's all one. Serve the Lord. And let's go here. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. That's what it should be about all the time. And I know for me, it's one of those things where you take work, for example. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm always like, we're not at our full potential. We're working, we're not at our full potential. We're working, not at our full potential. And, you know, I'm pressing toward for us to become at that full potential that we can do. We can do that. In Christ's strength, we can do that. And that's the same thing that I want us to keep in mind down here in this ministry. It's the same thing. And a lot of times you get, Phil, you're just never satisfied. No, I am satisfied, but I know we can be better. You might be right. But what does the Scripture say? He who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You know, but as a body, and it starts with going, Lord, it starts with humility. It's about His righteousness, it's about what He has done for you. And operating in His strength, His love, His will. And the Lord just meets us. Yeah. And when that happens, you want more of it. And we see it all the time. As we submit unto Christ, which is really, what does it boil down to? A choice. A choice. The guy that delights himself in the law of the Lord, what does he do? What is that? That's a choice. That's a choice. And what does it say about making that choice? This is where the Lord shows up. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. A tree planted by a river? What does a tree need? Water. It has it abundantly. It has what it needs abundantly. So think about that. And it kind of brings me to some of the Gospels and what Jesus said. Jesus said, help me out, Lincoln. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. He's going to give you everything that you need. You don't have to worry about your bills. You don't have to worry about if you're going to get through the day or not. You don't have to worry about the fears and the struggles and the circumstances and all these powers of the enemies that come against you. You don't have to worry about the devil and his devils. You don't have to worry about any of those things. He Because he's going to give you what you need. It says it right here in the Word. If I delight myself in the law of the Lord, that is love God, love one another, then I will be like a tree planted by the water and I will have everything I need to overcome and to do His will.
Amen.
Everything. No man can take that away from you. No man. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's another promise. Everything you do shall prosper. Man, do you guys want this? I know I do. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't want to perish. I don't want you to perish. And you know, the coolest thing about this is just that choice you make. It's that choice we make. Do we choose to believe God or do we not? Because what does it say? You know, Christ died for the ungodly. He died while we were at our worst. I was praying in the shed this morning and I was thinking about the Lord and what He's done in my life and how He went on the cross and was resurrected in power and what the gospel, how it was manifested in my life. And I was looking back at myself in the way of where I was in the old. Needles in my arms. People dying. Not fun. Myself a couple times almost. And a mess and a chaotic life that was miserable. And I looked and, you know, that's me. That's me in the flesh, man. That's ugly. But the power of what Jesus Christ done overcame all that. And brought forth abundantly at I can ask or think. More than I can imagine. More than I can imagine. And it humbles me. And it's good to remember where I came from and what the Lord has done. But I was going to point, which I forgot. Praise God. Oh yeah. Came back. Thank you, Lord. How did it, what was Abraham was accounted, what does it say? Abraham was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God. And the proof of him believing God is that he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Not exactly, I mean, he stumbled a long way, but he got to where he did what the Lord wanted him to do. And the Lord's asking you today if you're going to be His disciples. The Lord's asking you today, are you going to do what He says? The Lord's asking you today, are you going to believe Him and enter into that rest that He has for you and walk in those good things that we just talked about? That's what He's asking you. I want to go to Luke real quick. Luke 14:26. And I'll be turning quickly, so I'll just read it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That word hate there is preference. Preferring the Lord over all these things and your own life also. You cannot be my disciple. That's what the Lord's asking. Or look, that's what the Word says. Unless you prefer him over all things, you cannot be his disciple. It has to be the number one thing. You have to be like that man that delights himself in the law of the Lord and meditated on it day and night. And let me let you in on a secret here. I can't love my wife. I can't love my daughters. I can't love my father. I can't love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I can't love those that need to hear the gospel unless I am putting Jesus Christ first, because it is His love that works through me that loves them.
Amen.
That loves them. That's the only way. It's His love, His righteousness that He gives to you. That's the water that you need to do it. So we can't even boast in that. Praise God. The Lord's good. But He knows this. And He loved us while we were at our worst and died for us. He's good. And He fills us with love and grafts us back into His Spirit. We're not even the natural branches, and He grafts us in. We're not Abraham's seed, but He still grafts us in because He's good. Because He's good. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's doing it. That's enduring hardness. That's enduring hardness as a good soldier. Let me tell you, if you love God and you're going to serve God, people are going to hate you. You're going to have to put off this flesh that is at enmity with God. And so everything naturally is going to come against you loving God. That's the hardness. That's the cross. What does Scripture say? If they hateth me, they're going to hate you. Because you're representing me. That's how it's going to be. But it's not going to matter if we're in Christ Jesus and it's about loving God and loving one another. Because it's going to be all about furthering the gospel. And there's going to be those that hear it and see it. There's going to be those that reject it and hate you for it. Because they love their deeds. And they're dark. And they prefer darkness over the light. That's what the Pharisees did, but at the same time, you've seen all those peoples that receive those good things of God. So this is an important choice for us. And you know, it doesn't say meditate the law of the Lord on this hour Sunday morning. The hour on Tuesday night. The hour on Thursday night. And what other day there is? Huh? And Wednesday. Wednesday night. Thank you. I knew I was missing one in there. It doesn't say just for that hour, does it? No, it says day and night. Day and night. But this is the truth of the gospel. But see, this is the thing about it is that it is just freedom. It's just freedom. Let's go to Romans. Let's talk about this freedom a little bit. This is, Lord's good. It says right here. In Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You can walk away from it. You can let these things become between you and the Lord. You can let these things separate you. But it's you that make the choice. It's you that make that choice to believe God and believe His Word. And meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. None of these things shall separate from us from the love of God. Even when you don't love your life unto the death, yea, even your own life also is what it says. And you're all about Him and His business, loving God, loving one another. Not even death has victory over you. Not even death. Where does it say in Scripture? I don't know where it says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? None of these things. So it's just absolute freedom. Here's your choices. The world and its ways, fears, worries, death, hell forever. Jesus Christ. Absolute freedom, love, and eternal life. This one on my right hand. I want Jesus. That's what I want. So let's press forward. Press toward the mark. What does it say in Philippians? Let's go to Philippians real quick. And I'm going to go to chapter 3. And Paul just, and I'm going to just sum this up. Paul just goes through. You know what? I'll go through it. Though I might also have confidence in flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Yeah. You think Paul is pretty serious? I think he's dead serious. About the worldly stuff and the law. But he was dead serious about serving God. Because it says right here, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Till Christ knocked him off his high horse. And guess what happens? But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All these things, man, he thought he was serving God, he thought he was being righteous in, and all these things until Jesus Christ said, you're persecuting me. What? Crap! That righteousness is nothing. It's Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And yea, Dallas, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He wants to know the Lord. And all this other stuff just doesn't matter. The first thing that comes to his mind is knowing the Lord. He counts all this other stuff but dung. It doesn't mean nothing to him. But he wants to know the Lord. He wants that relationship with Jesus Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the white righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Kind of reminds me of baptism. Put off that old man, resurrected in a new man. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, goes and lives with Christ forever, and resurrected in that new man, Jesus. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. To know Christ, His way, His will, His life. Because all that other stuff was dumb. It's garbage. It kills you. It kills your soul. It wants to drag you to hell. Your own flesh is against it. But we have a better way. We have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in Him we have life eternal. And in Him we have love forever. And we press toward that mark. We become that disciple that does not love their life unto the death. And we make it all about Him. And when we start doing that, folks, the Lord will start meeting us in ways unimaginable. And will start bringing others that they may come into the fold. That they may have that eternal life. That they may know Jesus. The God who created heaven and earth, who is good, who is an awesome God. Amen. That's what we need to be about, day and night. Because He is good, and He meets us, and He shows us how good He is. And not just for us, but He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And then there's those out there who need to hear it. That will hear. And we just make that choice to love God, love one another. They need it just as bad as we need it, man. And the Lord's good. Well done.
Praise God, you didn't leave me much time. And that is always good. Woo! We were singing a song. The song was, They That Wait Upon the Lord. It's out of Isaiah 40. And Isaiah 40 is kind of neat. It's got a whole bunch of songs in there that we've sung at one time or another. And it's a prophecy, a lot of Messiah prophecy in there. So, you know, I wanted to read this thing and get the verse we were singing in context. Let's do start on 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and My judgment is passed over from My God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, the song says, teach me, Lord, to wait. We got news. Waiting is serving, and it's a choice. You either choose it or you don't. And on that subject of choices, let's go back to Luke briefly. I would get it out of another one, but I know where it is in Luke. And some of this, you know, most of where Phil started was a choice. Choosing to delight yourself in the law of the Lord is a starting place to make you successful. That the law is righteous. And why it's meaningful is because, you know, I spent most of my life regarding it as a it's like, what are they doing? Call them in horse shows where they go for the hurdles. Hurdles, that's what I was looking for. Hurdles. Ah, you don't get this just anywhere, folks. And it's worth every dime. There are increasingly tall hurdles designed to trip us up. And that's not the case. The law's perfect work is to show us we need Jesus. So when you come to Jesus, if 14:26, if Luke, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That too is a choice. And you know, I was going to play devil's advocate and speak up when Phil was going, but Phil kind of bridged the parent contradiction there fairly well. How can you love God and love one another and then hate these people that are listed here? You can only do it by preferring Jesus. Because it's His love is going to make the difference for them anyway. And you don't have it if you haven't chosen Him. If you haven't laid your life down. And I don't know exactly where it is, but Jesus says, he who seek to save his life will lose it.
That's in Luke 17.
But he who loses his life for me shall save it. It's got to be all right with you if following after him in the way he walked, he was going to lay down his life. It's got to be all right with you if you have to do that. And part of that is the back and forth of the Hebrews 4, where he talks about, thank you for that, but I might go there, but Hebrews 4, where he talks about, we have not a Savior who has not been touched in every way by our infirmities. By our weaknesses. He has gone through everything that we have gone through so that we can go through everything he went through. Part of his provision for us is he knows what it's like to be us. That is part of his righteousness as well. Everything he's called us to do, he has called us to do because it was right. It was the right thing to do. It's the right thing. It's the way to serve Him and please the Father. And what starts churning in my head is, I have to agree that this is right. If this cost me my life, that's okay. It cost Jesus His. And I get the benefit of, in the end, I have saved it. Because I do not suffer the second death. Hebrews says, appointed man to die once. He doesn't have to die a second time. Choice. It's all about choice. I encourage you to meditate on these things and get your heart right with the Lord. That's the only way that you can more than brush up with some of this stuff, brush across it. It feels good when you intersect something you got right, but you can start bouncing back to the way things were. The only way to walk it and stay walking in it is to settle these issues. That whatever He calls us to do, A, He's made provision for us, and B, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us, and B, what He wants us to do is right. He has the authority to do it. He has the power for us to receive to do it. And He did it before us. That would be C, I guess. He's righteous, and it's our obligation, it's our privilege, to have the choice, make the choice, to learn how to please Him and serve Him. And receive, open the door for the blessings that come your way because He's good. No. We're evil fathers. But we like to do good for our children. He's righteous. And He only wants good for us. Steve's coming up at the top of the hour at the church in Vermont. I'm done. Y'all stay tuned.